Let's start. It looks like there's a bus breaking down outside, so we'll kick off with a wee word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for lovely weather, Lord. I thank you for literally being like a summer's day. Thank you, Lord, for sunshine, for each soul that's here, and we pray your presence amongst us. Please do, Lord, continue to work on hearts and minds. Continue to work in the corridors of power. Continue, Lord, to preserve life of those that are at the mercy of these, tyrants, Lord, of these people that are just on par. Father, we just love you and thank you, and pray that you would use this as a time of recharging and edifying for us. Bless Will and Norman and myself and my good wife. Please be with also Frank and Link, Dr. Shang, for Pat and Steve, and Colin, wherever it is that he is. We love you and praise you. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world and provide their daily needs. Amen. Colin is in Lyman, in the east of Ukraine.
Is there something back there?
No, not anymore. 3-2-3 in the big books. This is what we're here about, pardon? 3-2-3, this is what we're here for this evening. See it as we sing.
Red, well, I'm hungry. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring another drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, that though the days to come upon you, that he will take you away with fruits, and your prosperity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel, and transgress, and Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this like a few, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereof did rain not withered. So 2 or 3 cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasphemy and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The pongworm devoured them, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your men have I slain with the sword, and taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown such you as God of Jerusalem and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand of out of the burning, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth the man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good verses there. I have most of that chapter underlined. I don't know if you counted the number of times the Lord said, yet have you not returned unto me. I think there's about 5, maybe 6 times in those 13 verses where that is mentioned. But sad day whenever the whole of the world is like that, and not just Israel now, departed so far from. Good reading. Good reading. Amen. Right, just want to remind you about the prayer list. We're not going to spend time going over that. I think everybody was here this morning that is here this evening. Make sure you get one. Please do pray for the people that are there. Lots going on in the world, and if you have any preparations that you need to make to get yourself ready, please make sure you do them. Get an extra tin when you go to the shops or something for the freezer or something dry that you can put away. And make sure you're walking and talking with the Lord. He'll point you in the right direction, most importantly. Collins and Lyman, pray for him. Pray for Frank. It was good to see him. I can almost feel my own face sore for all the work that he got done in the surgery. It was a break in the top mandible and a break in his bottom jaw. So he has two, possibly three breaks that need, as long as it takes for a broken limb to fix, is it 6 weeks, 2 months, something like that? He has that to look forward to in his face and his jaw. So please do pray for him. Seemed to be in good enough form this morning. The doctors are very pleased with his progress. I think they were saying that normally at his stage, people are still lamenting the pain in their face from the work that's done. Prayers do work. Don't forget to keep praying for him. Amen. I think that's about that. Lots going on. We've all got our private prayer requests. I would appreciate your prayers for the things that I have ahead of me. I'm sure Norman would too, and Will. He's back to business as usual. We were just discussing. He'll be hammers and tongs all week. No short weeks. No short weeks for holidays and no short weeks for sickness either. So pray for Will, for Link, and Frank. Steve, great to see Steve out. As you can see, he still has a bit of ways to go. Please keep praying for him. Pray for this old town of Derry. Pray for this country. Pray for America, Russia, China, the Western world. Most importantly, the Lord says, pray for the peace of Israel. If you ever come across a Jew, be nice to them and bless them, and let them know that you love the Jews, because there's an old promise way back in Genesis that the Lord would bless the person that blesses the Jews, and he would curse the person that curses the Jews. So everybody that's pointing their finger and making life difficult for them right now, the Lord, as he said, you've sown the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Life does get difficult for all those. Anyway, I think we'll have a word of prayer. Will, you don't mind doing a bit more speaking on our behalf, do you, brother?
No.
Amen. You go ahead.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into your house tonight, Lord. May it be a sign of blessing both in this church, but also in all about the Christian churches as well, Lord. She so see it mighty and powerfully. May our praise extend up to your throne, Lord. May the tithes, the offerings, the reading of the Bible, the sermon, Lord, our praise, Lord, may be acceptable, holy, and thy will, Lord. Lord, we have absent brothers, I thank you for saving Frank back home, Lord. Heal him mightily, take away any discomfort, pain, or anything that will affect him, Lord, and bless him, keep him. Dr. Shankman, thank you as well, Lord, bless him as well, Lord. With Colin, wherever he is, not from any trouble, keep him safe and well, Lord. We're protecting about him, and Lord, draw him closer walk thee as well, Lord. Keep him safe and well. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, bring him back to church, but primarily save us, Lord, mightily and powerfully as well, Lord. With Stephen Pat, Lord, bless him, keep him, Lord, and with Steve, recuperation, heal him mightily and powerfully, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, and help him in his ailments as well. Also give rest to Pat as well. Give us strength as well, Lord. And refresh you as well, Lord. Pray for all us that we don't know about, and people are listening to the CD sermons, Lord, and also the online as well, Lord. Bless them as well, Lord. With John Bradford, Lord. Heal him and pray for him. Keep him safe as well, Lord. And help heal him as well. Also with Patty, Lord. Heal her, help him with her fractures, or in their back, Lord, heal them, take away any discomfort, pain, or anything else, Lord, and heal our mighty and powerfully as well, Lord. Where Marcus comes to deliver the gospel, may he show us things in your book, Lord, and guide us through your word, Lord, and may you see a blessed life, Lord, and give us the grace for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Before we get to that, let's sing another song or two. One that Monica wanted to sing. Sorry, want us all to sing. 414 in the big books. 414. Stand up for Jesus to the new tune. 414. We'll have to stand as we sing this, of course. dance up when you're singing Stand Up for Jesus. Goodness. Amen. Well, we'll finish off this part of the service with 226 out of the big book. 226 is I Found a Friend. 226. I found a friend 34 years ago and he saved my soul. I have never regretted making that decision. Pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Quick prayer, and then we will get cracking. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this lovely day and for this time in your house, for the health and the strength and even the desire, Lord, to sing these good old songs. Please bless them, Lord, and be our interpreter, our speaker, and our edifier as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3. We love you and praise you. We leave this at your feet, and Lord, we pray for the edification of our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. Love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. A couple of verses in here are going to be, as a fellow says, difficult to swallow. But this is the Word of God. And if being a Christian was easy, or you could be a Christian accidentally, a lot of people would be Christians. I've broken this down into a few bits and pieces. By all means, follow along in your Bible. If not, just listen, but give me your attention for the next 25 minutes or so, and I hope this will be a help to you. The gospel is called the good news from God. And it's to us. It's to you and me. Of all the things that are in the Bible, not one of them makes God any greater. They make us greater. All the teachings and all the examples that are in the Bible are there for our benefit. In fact, Jesus even said the same whenever he prayed outside the tomb of John. Father, I'm saying these things so that people around and about can know that it is all about you. We're here to bring glory to God, because without God we are less. Can you imagine what you would be doing right now if you weren't a saved man? If there was no influence of God in your life, I would be playing video games or watching a movie, or I would probably be keeping fit. I have plenty of examples as a lost man what it's like to be a fool in this life. And I decided that I would learn from other people's mistakes and not do it. We could be dead. What were we spared of because we were getting ready for church or driving to church? A pile-up out the road. Who knows? The things in the Word of God are there for us. They're there for us to learn, and there for us to grow, and they're there for us to read in the proper context with all the rest of the Word of God. And this portion of God's word begins with a reminder, a tap on the shoulder, remember the word of God. Don't be forgetting it. It's very important. And Paul says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, if I asked you right now, name me all the Bible verses that you know, you might be able to pull a couple of dozen, just like a rabbit out of the hat. But I can guarantee you, if you were speaking to somebody, you were genuinely concerned with their soul, and this was an opportunity to share the gospel, the Holy Spirit would make good on his promise to remind you of verse after verse after verse after verse. Not that you needed to hear them again, but the person you're speaking to needed to hear them again. So it is important that we stir up our remembrance of God's word, that we read the Bible, that we listen to the preaching of God's word, that we study, that we memorize. It's very, very important. And the reason for this is, and I am sure you've probably noticed, that there's going to come people, Peter said here in the last days, but in the days that we are living in right now, how many people have you come across that love the Lord? Even in churches, how many people have you come across that love the Lord? How many people have you come across that are properly grateful and understanding of exactly what God has done for? There's hardly any. The ministers even. They're good for nothings and ne'er-do-wells. And that's not just in our religion, that's in all faiths, all religions. Most of them are pagans. I think the worst I came across recently was, does anybody see that thing about the Dalai Lama? Having a wee fella suck his tongue on national TV. That guy's a paedophile. And he's so brazen. And this is the way sin is right now. It is so brazen. The Church of Ireland should be up saying that guy's a paedophile. The Presbyterian Church should have been up saying that guy's a paedophile. The Methodist Church should have been saying that guy's a paedophile. The Baptist Church should have been saying that guy's a paedophile. In fact, someone in Tibet should have taken him and given him a darn good hiding. And hung him from a lamppost with a sign around his neck saying, this will happen to all paedophiles. Was quiet. You know why? Because most of them are up to their necks in all sorts of immorality. And these are the days that we live in. Politicians that were elected by us, they're living the lives of kings. They don't have their sleeves rolled up. They have other people rolling their sleeves up for them. And it's getting so bad. And people have departed so far from God, as we read on in this portion. This was written 2,000 years ago, whenever there was a real fervor for the Lord. Whenever you were either saved or lost, there was none of these grey areas. Where people didn't have to worry about their children being radicalized by Muslims because the children were on the internet. The children heard what they needed to hear from their mum and dad and from the synagogue or from the church. This is what God was warning us about was going to happen in the last days, and we're here. People are so bold now, they're actually challenged God. I remember hearing two stories about men that challenged God. I think it was from America. One man challenged God a duel out in the forest. This is a for real. And he went out and he challenged God and he screamed at him and he shouted at him and he walked out of the forest again. And I think he died a week or two later. He got a mosquito bite in the eye that killed him. God won. Man zero. And there was another man, a rank pagan, atheist, whatever, hated God. And he said before he died, if there's a God, let snakes never depart from my grave. And even to this day, his grave is plagued with snakes, no matter what they do. There's always snakes in and around his grave. God two, man zero. And it is always the way. But people are so bold now that they're saying, like, okay, so where's the promise of us coming? You see, he keeps saying God's coming back. Show me a sign. You, brothers and sisters, should be able to say, well, Israel's a nation. Our technology has gotten to the point where we can kill everybody, like it says in Matthew 24. Where we have a global communications network that will enable every eye to see Jesus when he comes. That our technology has advanced so far that we can give an image life, moving images, in our phones of all places, in our hip pockets. Where the preachers refuse to preach the gospel of salvation by grace and living right by the word of God. They refuse to preach that. Where mothers want to be fathers and men want to be women and children want to run the families. We live in the days of Isaiah 6. We should be able to say, these are the signs. We live in the days whenever the people that advanced through the world 200 years ago, England was the mission center of the world. Sent missionaries far and wide, China, India, the Americas. These wee islands that you'll never hear of in deepest, darkest parts of Africa. Preaching the good news of God, and now we're one of the rankest, most pagan nations in the world. And the king's about to stand up and say, oh, I'm the defender of all faiths. I'm as woke as Budweiser Light, and I am going to turn it. I am going to turn the company into the, I'm going to grind it into the ground. So perish all those that go woke. You don't think Bud Anheuser-Busch is very pleased with their VP at the moment. I think she single-handedly wiped about $6 billion off the market share because people just don't like that old nonsense. But we live in these days. We live in the days when there's wars and rumors of wars. We used to think, hey, we live in the West. We never see a pestilence or a famine. What did we get the past 3.5 years? A worldwide manufactured pestilence. And then people start to notice the shelves going empty. The famine's coming. Don't forget, friends, there are countries in the world that have literal famines. We are getting off light here, be bad and all as it is. So we live in the days whenever Christians are the troublemakers instead of the peacemakers, instead of the peace bringers between God and men. We live in these days. Jesus is coming back because all of these things, whenever all these lines intersect, that's when Christ comes back. And they say all these things because it's not that they don't know about God. They just refuse to countenance him in their minds. They refuse. They refuse. And do you know why they refuse? It talks about the flood in verse numbers 5 and 6. They refuse to consider the judgment of God because the judgment, they're standing in the middle of the road and the steamroller of God's judgment is coming right at them. And they're standing with their back to it going, la, 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 I can't hear any of your warnings. Remember what John the Baptist said? The generation of vipers, he said, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But this is the way people are. It struck me when I was up at the Crescent Link this afternoon. And you could see a few people looking at me out of the corner of their eyes or over their shoulders. Like, who is that fool that turns up here every Sunday afternoon? There was one wee woman sitting like halfway across the car park with her camera out on her phone and I was waving. It just struck me. They're all doing just whatever it is the blooming well feel like. I was in a car park full of practicing Satanists. Anton LaVey, and I've mentioned it before, you should be mindful of the fact that his teaching, in other words, whatever you want is the most important thing in the world, or as he put it, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, is the very mind of the devil from Isaiah 14, is the teaching that Anton LaVey brought out. Guess what would happen if you asked Anton LaVey, was he right or wrong now? What would he say? I have made an awful mistake. I wish I could get saved, but it's too late for me now. We live in these days. What God was warning the people about in the last 2 millennia, we are actually living in now. But the world's not going to come under judgment again. Like, they don't, folks don't want to think about the judgment of Noah's day because the thought of every man's heart was continually wicked. And they don't want to think about the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah, who were up to all sorts of sexual immorality and perversion and abuse. And they don't want to think about the judgment. I'm reading in Ezekiel, and we're reading in Amos there about of God's own people who wouldn't behave themselves, who wouldn't turn up at church, who wouldn't give God his due respect. They don't want to think about these things. They don't want to think about the judgment of all men. That great white throne of judgment. They don't want to think about that. So they stand with their fingers in their ears and their backs to the steamroller of God's judgment. And they sing a wee song to themselves and close their eyes and dance up and down. And they don't even know until the steamroller hits them. And you don't get away with a broken foot or a broken leg. If a steamroller runs over you, you're done. You're dead. And the Bible does say, and it gives you a wee note in here, judgment, the final judgment for this world is not going to be water again. The Lord said he'd never judge the world by water again. He says it's going to be fire. And you can read that for yourself in Revelation chapter 20. But Peter goes on to say, and this is what he says to those people that believe. He says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord is faithful. What that means is, it's not like you or me. If I said, well, I'll be at your house tomorrow for tea, if that's okay, what time are you having your tea break and I'll be there? I promise I'll see you then, and I don't turn up. That's not being faithful. That's breaking a promise. God says, I'll be there, and he will be there. But he also says, well, in 10 years' time, I will be at your house on such and such a day for tea. Are we all good? God will be there, whether you forget or not, God will be there. And all of God's promises for the Bible will take place, regardless of how we treat them. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering to us. He doesn't want people to die. The Old Testament, Ezekiel itself even, is full of times when the Lord said, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So turn yourselves and live ye. In other words, repent of your sins and follow me. This is what God said. Old Testament, Gospels, New Testament. God wants people saved. But he puts all these things in here so people can read the Bible at some stage in the future and say, hey, that's me. I've set myself up as an enemy of God. I think I would need to change my ways. Because I remember all the people disappearing off the earth there just not that very long ago. That's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. Was it 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Anyway, the rapture. These things are happening and I'm on the wrong side of eternity. I would need to do something about that. All the people are in there, the good and the bad, so that people can see themselves in the Bible, make the appropriate decision. God wants people saved whether they're good or bad. Let's be honest. There's not one of us who's good enough to get to heaven by ourselves. There's not one of us bad enough that God didn't want to save. So just remember that. And all these things, these, we'll call them judgments or punishments, whatever it is you want to call them, they're not to destroy us. The chastenings that we get in the earth, the rumblings that we get of God's judgment to come, they're there to remind us, to point us to the foot of the cross, and to say to us, look, is it not about time you wised up? Is it not about time you got down on your hands and knees and just told me you're sorry for your sins and asked me to save you? In other words, repent and believe. You can't just invite God into your heart, because if you don't repent of your sins, there's no room for him in your heart. You have to repent of your sins. That's like grabbing your sins out of your heart, tearing them out, and leaving space for the Holy Spirit to move in, letting them go. I think there's a roaring trade now in this day and age in theft prevention. I know Norman from his days working in B&Q and used to have, what do they call it, stock shrinkage. And you imagine the boxes getting 10% smaller. But it actually means the stock gets 10% smaller when the stock disappears out the door without people paying for it. And so you put wee tags on, you have cameras going, you watch the tills, you watch the eyes as people come and go. Maybe have a camera on the outside to see what car does they hop into so you can pass the number plate on to the police. But you be prepared. No shopkeeper in his right mind these days would not take at least some theft prevention methods. But a lot of people don't bother putting these things in place until they get really, really hammered. Now, years ago, when Desmond's was still buildings and not a flat sheet of ground with lots of sheep on it, I think at the moment, and lots of doors, surrounded by a steel wall to keep the water out, they had two security men. And the two security men, there was always one man at the office. Nothing happened for years, so they cut it down to one security man. Well, still nothing happened, so they had him delivering the mail. And one day, when he was spent an hour or so walking around the factory, delivering mail to the various offices, a couple of lads came in a van, found an open door to the warehouse, loaded the van with, they said, £20,000 worth of stock and left again, and nobody ever knew who they were. And there was a big cry about security, because security wasn't there to stop them whenever the thief struck. And that's exactly... The Bible says the way the Lord will come is a thief in the night, unexpectedly, and with dreadful consequences. Remember I used to say, if I knew when the Lord was coming back, about 3 seconds before it happened, I would arrange to be on top of one of the highest buildings, and I would jump off, and before I hit the ground, the rapture would catch me and lift me away up into the air. I think there's a good reason the Lord doesn't tell us when he's coming back, because you get an idiot like me doing something like that. Or signing up for a new 4-litre Mustang. And going tearing down the Strand Road at 100 miles an hour and go crashing over the rails into the foil. And when they pull it out, there's no body there because I'm away in the rapture. But the Bible says the Lord's coming as a thief in the night, not to stop idiot Christians doing stupid things or crazy things, but to make sure people are ready. If God said, I'll be back on the 29th of December 2025, let's be honest, a lot of us wouldn't do a tap. A lot of people wouldn't get saved until the 19th of December 2025, the day before. Is that the right date, I guess? Anyway, you know what I mean. The Lord said, today is the day of salvation. Jesus said, it's not for you to know. He said, it's not even for me to know. It's but for the Father in heaven to know the day that he's coming back. We are not to live in expectation of getting right just before Jesus comes back. We are to live as God's children until Jesus comes back. In fact, did he not say, occupy until I come. Do something useful with your life until I come back. Tell people the gospel. Help in the church. Be good to the brethren. Serve the Lord to the best of your ability with the skills and talents you have. That's what Jesus said. And that's very hard if you're busy out drinking and carrying and smoking and sleeping around the country and doing drugs and lying and cheating and stealing, taking the Lord's name in vain, fighting and guiling and with a filthy mouth until the day before the Lord comes back. The Lord said he'll be back, and it'll be a bit of a surprise to a lot of people. I can guarantee you, hand and heart, most churches in the world will continue on unaffected when the Lord comes back in the clouds to gather his children off of the earth. Because most churches in the world are not preaching the gospel. And most of the people in the churches are good people, faithful churchgoers, put money on the plate, sing like angels, but they're not saved. And there is a difference. Going to church does not make you a Christian. If it did, maybe going to McDonald's could turn you into a hamburger. Or going to the KFC would turn you into a bit of fried chicken, but it doesn't happen like that. You might feel like a burger, or you might feel like a bit of fried chicken, just like you might feel like a a Christian, if the preacher brings a specifically moving service to you, but it'll not save you. It's between you and God. It's between you and God to see your soul saved. And it's between you and God to do something with your life once your soul is saved. And that's what this is for. It'll come as a surprise. And there's many instances, there's a few parables about the Lord of the house being away and him setting servants to tend to all his affairs. And one servant, he starts carrying on and drinking, and the Lord of the house comes back and catches him unawares and gives him a darn good hiding, excuse me. And then there's the old ones that will be faithful. The Lord said, get saved. A life with Jesus. It's not, your life is not going to end whenever you get saved. A whole bunch of new doors open up whenever you get saved. And you want to spend eternity in heaven with God. Why would you not want to spend the rest of your life here on earth with God? It defies all logic. But as we read this here, it talks about the very end of time, the tail end of the existence of this earth, if you want to put it in science fiction terms, of this dimension, of this continuum. It talks about the utter destruction of the earth. If we were to look at Revelation chapter 20, if you want to join me there, that's good. If you want to listen, that's good too. There we go. Revelation 20, verse 7. Now, it talks about 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation coming to this world. And it talks about the things that we will experience on the run-up to that, which we've spoken about over the past few services. But after the 7 years, the Bible says, and I believe it, that the Lord is coming back as the Lion of Judah with a rod of iron to judge all nations according to the old law, the law of God. And after that seven years, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace. God will run the show. Christians will think they're in heaven. Lost people will think they're in hell. People that do wrong are going to pay with their lives. That's just the way it is. But at the end of 1,000 years, because Satan's been locked up, Satan gets released, and he goes out into the world. Everybody gets one more chance. Let's stick it to God. We tried in the Garden of Eden to ruin it all, and he beat us there. We tried in Noah's day to ruin it all, and he beat us there. We tried to, in this case, 3,000 years ago, to kill his son, and he beat us there. We tried again at the Battle of Armageddon when he came back to save the world, and he beat us there. We're going to win this time. It's almost like the stupidest people in the world, the stupidest creatures in existence. Who was it that said, only a fool does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results? That's Sherlock Holmes or somebody like that. No, I can't recall. But only a fool does the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. We're going to beat him this time. Like, the guy's just been locked up for 1,000 years upon God's command. We're going to beat God this time. Goodness gracious me. Not even one of the soldiers of the devil's soldiers can do something if God doesn't want them to do it, and they're going to try and beat God anyway. The devil's going to go out, and he's going to convince everybody, because he's very good at that, especially lost people. Look at the way the world's gone at the moment. Sin is right, and living for God's wrong. That's the way the world is right now. And he's going to convince everybody that's not saved, and maybe even a few that are, that God's a bad man. He's been enforcing his will upon us for a thousand years. Yep, we've had complete peace. It's like the Garden of Eden. People are living for hundreds of years. There's no war. There's no battles. Angels are walking around making sure everybody behaves themselves. Aye, but you can never get a drink anywhere. There's no whorehouses or drug dens. Yeah, but they were killing people in droves. Even the Anheuser-Busch stuff. I think they'd have to drink an awful lot of it. But anybody that does, they deserve what's coming their way. Anyway, God says, no, not going to work. But he gives everybody a chance because God loves us. And he gives us a chance to exercise our free will. And by the way, I don't mean to be irreverent, and I hope I don't sound irreverent. Please, and if I do, please forgive me. And the devil surrounds the new Jerusalem, and there's a big camp around Jerusalem with everybody from across the world that wants to come and see Jesus. They will come and they'll stay in the camp of the saints around Jerusalem. And all the saved gather there, and all the armies of the Antichrist, Gog and Magog, all the God-haters gather around. The stuff will be great in a movie. And they're just about to say, charge! When the Bible actually says, fire comes down from heaven. And it starts at the camp of the saints, the outside border of the camp of the saints, and it goes across the whole world. And the next thing the devil knows, he's in the lake of fire, along with the beast and the false prophet. And everybody else is standing at the great white throne of judgment. All the dead, small and great. All the saved are glorified. And we open our eyes in New Jerusalem. And we're having a wonderful time, but it's not so good for those that are lost. And they all end up in hell. And the lake of fire. Not hell, actually. That's the great white throne of judgment. It's the lake of fire. God takes all of those, every single one. Remember at the end of John chapter 3, it talks about the lost. It says the wrath of God abides with them. That wrath of God held back by the loving kindness of God, giving everybody a chance until the day they die to repent of their sins and trust God as their Savior. The wrath of a disrespected father, of a man who's had his name taken in vain, had his children beaten and killed and abused for centuries, that gets visited upon all the Christ rejectors. And they are cast. They're not thrown. They are cast. How is it, Norman's a, you ever fish? How is it, what way do you throw if you're fly fishing? What way do you go like that there? You have to put a bit of elbow grease behind it. You're wanting a way out, as far out as you can get into the deep water where the fish are. And that's what the Bible says, that people are going to be cast into the lake of fire. They'll be flung as hard as the angels can into the lake of fire. And there's not going to be any big uprising in the lake of fire. And they're not going to do a human pyramid to get out. Because every single one of them will know what every single other one of them is like and wouldn't even want to touch them. The lies and the murders and the adulteries that are in their hearts, and as far as God's concerned, you might as well have done it. And nobody will want anything to do with each other. In fact, I think they might be looking for the Antichrist and the beast and the devil, and they might just want to give him a good duffing. Because the Bible records people saying, are you become like us? Are you become as weak as we are? The man that did cause nations to tremble? Maybe a bit of payback for the devil. It's not good. And God doesn't want that for anybody, but he says it's coming. And he says to us, seeing as all these things are going to go the way of the dodo, what sort of person should we be? I know there certainly are people that would just like to grab them by the neck and just twist their stupid heads off. Just kick their heads down the road like a football, like they used to do with football back in the days of the Anglo-Saxons. I think they used to play football with the severed heads of their enemies. These things are coming. The Word of God says we should consider who we are and what we're doing with our lives. But bear also in mind that there are people out there that are spinning yarns. They will take the scriptures and they will, the Bible says, rest them for their own destruction. In other words, use them the wrong way. Introduce a weakness into their lives and their doctrine and their beliefs that the devil will exploit. There's one thing, I think that the devil loves compromised preachers because they're easy to work at. Because a compromised preacher tends to believe that he's right, even in the face of facts. And the devil can work with people like that. The Bible says there's going to be people out there And we see them even today. They take what it is that they like from the scriptures. They use it to gain power over others. The Bible says there's judgment coming unless you do your best and take the biggest, I've heard this one, take the biggest bill out of your wallet and put it in the plate, and God will reward you tenfold. And they're putting money in the plate, not because they love the Lord, but because they have a false promise of getting, instead of 20 quid, they'll get 200 quid back. People do that. Bible says, watch out for these liars and thieves. Don't let them ruin your walk with the Lord. You keep your eyes on the Lord. And as the Lord said to Peter, whenever Peter was forgiven, he said, what about John? Remember that? Whenever Peter was forgiven three times on the seashore, and he saw John, he said, what's John for doing? And Jesus said, don't you worry about anybody else. You just keep your eyes on me. Just do that. Don't let anybody ruin your life. Don't fall from your steadfastness. But grow in grace. Don't ever stop. And you see that last wee verse there? That belies medical knowledge that they've come across just in the past 15 or 20 years. It's important to keep the gray matter ticking over. It's important to keep your mind busy. Like every muscle, every machine, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. God loves us, and he wants the very best for us. And time after time after time, the whole length of the Bible and in little portions of the Bible, he warns us and encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us the things to look out for so that we... Which one of the armed forces is the motto is be all that you can be? Is that the American army, the British army, some army? That's what God wants for us. He wants to set, make our feet like hinds feet and set us on our high places, the best that we can be. That's what God wants for us. Let him in. Give him a bit of time, a bit of elbow grease. I guarantee you one thing. You will never outgive or outdo God in your life. He's no man's debtor. Stopping there, thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'll sing a song if anybody has one. Norman, you're the only one here this evening that didn't get to pick a song. Have you got one that you'd like for us all to sing?
What was this, stand up for Jesus? But
we can sing the old one.
The old one I like.
Okay, do that. What was the new one? What number?
413 is the old one.
413. 413, that's stand and sing.
I like the new one.
That's just as well. Stand up. I've got it again. Stand up. It's not that one we're singing.
No.
Make a joyful noise. Stand up for God bless you. It was a great day today. I appreciate everybody doing their bit, the Bible readings, the prayers, and even just being faithful in attendance. God bless you. Safe journeys home. Let's be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, Father, for the words that you give us from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would have them rattling around our heads as we go through the week. And Lord, please use them to shape us and mold us. Thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, and for not being done with us. And we pray, Lord, for your good hand upon all those that are starting to preach, middle of preaching, finishing preaching, or preparing to preach, Lord. Pray especially for the CD family and church family, for the Asquith family and church family, for the Bissett family and church family, for the Collins, Lord, up in Binder, and the Bissetts as well in Temple Patrick, and the many others, Lord. Thinking Glenn Wilkinson, Jonathan, can't remember his name. Jonathan Campbell, Johnny Campbell, Lord, and Stephen, I can't remember his name either. Down at the end of the road, Lord, that all of these men, Lord, you put your good hand upon them and keep us all flying right. We love you and thank you. We leave these things at your feet, Lord. Pray to see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. Amen. Folks, you're dismissed. God bless you.